Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Today we're going to be in the book of Joshua. What a great name for a book. Joshua. Joshua means Yahweh is salvation. Joshua is Hebrew for Jesus, Yeshua. So you can go ahead and start calling me by my Hebrew name. Just call me Shua for short. That's a joke. That'd be weird. Just go ahead. Just call me Jesus. It's all right. I'm kidding. So today, I've just been praying about what the Lord would have for us, and usually I come up here and I know exactly where we're going to land. At least I think I know where we're going to land. Today, I don't fully know where we're going to land, but I want to tell you that just like you want to hear on an airplane, it will land, and we will land on time. How's that? Does that give you great confidence today? I hope so. Well, I want to welcome everybody in the family center as well. We're so glad to have you just down the hall and also online. So glad that you're with us today. So we're going to be in the book of Joshua, and I'm just going to talk out of it a little bit today. The theme of the book of Joshua is conquest. And we see through these chapters in this book how Israel, after slavery and decades of wandering in the wilderness, how they take possession of the land that God has promised to them. And the message of the book is that God is faithful to keep his promise. He's faithful to his word. How many know that to be true? That he makes a way where there seems to be no way. That he makes a way where there doesn't look to be a way. And even though an entire generation before this Joshua generation rejected God through disobedience, God is still faithful to his word. Still faithful to his word. How many know that God is actually better than we could ever imagine? And you know, it seems like such an obvious thing that we would say that in church, but I kind of feel like we just don't say the basic obvious things sometimes. God is better than you could ever imagine. He is more faithful than you could ever imagine. He is more faithful to you than you could ever imagine. He's actually more committed to you than you could ever imagine. He's more merciful than you could imagine, more compassionate and more loving than you could ever imagine. I just feel like I want to speak that over the room, that God is love. And he loves you a lot. And if you're here today and you're doubting that love and that commitment to him, I want to tell you, it's not true. He's more committed to you than you know. His love goes beyond knowledge all the way to the place of encounter. And we get to live our lives in response to that love and that goodness. We taste and see, right? We're partakers of him. When my life is rooted and my life is grounded in the faithfulness and the goodness of God, then my response is always, I want to give him my entire life. See, when we try and do this from a different way outside of being rooted in the faithfulness and the goodness and the commitment of God towards us, it produces religion most of the time. But when we respond from the place of my goodness, he is so good, he's shaken me up inside and wrecked me with his love, then I want to give him everything. And I think that that's the key here today. I think sometimes when we're in church a long time and following Jesus, sometimes we just need to get a little wrecked with his love and his faithfulness again. Because he wants to get in and shake us up and say, hey, I'm so committed to you and I love you so much. And that changes everything, because then I want to absolutely lay my every day down to him and give him my all. Because he's so good, nothing could be better. So the message of this book is to show that God is faithful to keep his word and to keep his promises. And the second emphasis of this book that I want to touch on today is how Israel had to possess what was given to them. God gave them the land, but they couldn't sit back and do nothing. They stepped into God's promises, and they stepped into inheritance through faith and through obedience. And God's promises are maintained and received by faith and obedience. And God gives grace for both. How many can say an amen to that? So Joshua 1, right here at the beginning of this, we see right here as the book starts out that the Lord is speaking to Joshua with instructions and commands. He's speaking the strategies of heaven to him. And I believe that what the Lord spoke to Joshua here in chapter 1, he's actually speaking to us today in the context of our lives and in the context of our spiritual inheritance in possessing all that he has for us. The first thing God says to Joshua in chapter 1 is this: Moses is dead. It's a bit of a downer. The book of conquest starts with death. Woohoo! Isn't it interesting too, as you think about that, that spiritually speaking, our stepping into the promises of God, our stepping into new life, into new territory and new ground, into all that Jesus has paid for, begins with death too. Begins with the death of Jesus, who opens the way for resurrection life. The inheritance that is ours in him, it begins and it remains in that we're dead to who we were, and now we're alive to God in Christ Jesus. We could say it like this: I lose my life to live. I lose my life to live. So the Lord speaks his word over Joshua. He gives Joshua the vision. He gives him the strategies of heaven for his life and for victory for the people that he's leading. And he begins in verse 2 of Joshua 1 by saying this to Joshua: arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into this land that I'm giving you. It sounds so amazing, doesn't it? Arise and go. It sounds like a charismatic conference, right? Like, arise and go. Let's take the land, right? Until we realize that the very first thing that God asked Joshua to do as the new leader is actually impossible to do. Going over the Jordan in flood state is actually impossible. When the first thing that God asks you to do is impossible, there's only one thing to do. You're going to have to believe him. You're going to have to believe him. And you're not going to be able to figure it out or understand it always. And I think sometimes the problem so often with us Americans is that we try and understand everything before we do it. Are you that way sometimes? We try and understand everything before we do it. But I want to tell you that the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, you'll not understand all that God calls you to do. You will not understand it with your mind. And Joshua's going now, right off the bat, he's going to know that it isn't about him, that this is going to have to be God. I don't know about you, but in my life, I actually have found that that is where the peace is, that it will not be me, it will be God through me. And so the Lord tells him in verse 3, every place you place your foot, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. In other words, I've given you the land, but you're going to have to walk. I've given you the land, but you're going to have to walk. It's yours. I'm giving it to you, but you're going to actually have to get up and move. Somebody said, without God, we can't. Without me, he won't. And I cannot do God's part, but he won't do my part. Are you guys with me today? I was told myself I wasn't actually going to say that to you today. I was going to just trust that you were with me today. But there I broke my commitment to myself. I can't do his part. He won't do my part. He speaks. I listen. He directs. I follow. And we see here with Joshua that God is is giving not just any land, we just read here, but he's giving a specific land. He's giving a land that has boundaries. How many know that God-given boundaries are good? God-given boundaries are good. He's leading them to a specific place, a specific territory. He wasn't just saying, hey, Josh, every place you place your foot, it's yours. So just go wherever you want and do whatever you want to do. It wasn't a blank check to just go and do whatever he wanted or however he wanted. And I believe that this is actually a message for us as we walk with God, that we just don't go wherever we want to go. We don't just do whatever we want to do, but we actually follow the voice of the Lord. That we follow the word of the Lord. And that is how we can boldly know that where we place our feet, the land is ours. And God is giving Joshua here a specific assignment with specific instructions and specific boundaries. I want to suggest to you today that God is in the details and he is in the specifics. As believers, as Jesus' people, everyone in this room, everyone listening to this, if you're a believer, you have been given an assignment through your life. Your life is an assignment from heaven. You're a word from heaven. You've been given land to take. You've been given places to step and take the kingdom of God. You've been given precious promises from God, each and every one of us, as we follow Jesus. I love the idea of this, that we're sent ones, right? The second you came into this world, there was a desire from heaven over your life. There was a word sent out over your life. You were sent. And how we stay on assignment is by staying in step with him. And I've talked with multiple people in recent weeks that are in transition. And it seems like there's a lot of people in transition. Talk to several that are in like career changes and life changes. And as we talk, I always really bring it back to this. As we're talking, I just remind them. I say, you know what? Remember, you're a kingdom person. You're a Jesus follower. So your life is completely framed through that. And this decision that is before you is really about an assignment. The decision that is before you is really about land. The decision before you is really about promises from heaven. It's about spiritual territory that's to be taken through influence that you're going to be given. Whether you're a pastor or a mailman or a factory worker, or you run a coffee shop, or you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, I want to tell you, there is no compartmentalizing this. It's the same for all of us. You've been sent. There is an assignment over your life. There is territory to be taken. And when you're taking ground and you're operating in the boundaries and the territory that God has given you, you can know that even in the midst of the difficulties and the battles and the challenges and all the things that you face, you can know that he's given you the place that you put your foot. I believe in dreaming with God. I love that idea. I love to dream with God. We're called to co-labor with God, right? Through relationship with him. But here's what I want to remind us today. You know, I think sometimes we don't so much need instruction. We actually need reminding of what we've already been told. Do you ever need to be reminded of what you've already been told? Reminded of what you already know. I'm a parent, so I deal with this every day. Right? Can I hear another amen? I'm just kidding. But here's what I really feel to remind us as a church, as a body, that we don't just go and do whatever we dream up. I know that like sounds really awesome, like, oh yeah, I get to do whatever we want. We actually don't do that. And we're not robots, but we do it with him. We co-labor with him through relationship, but we don't just do whatever we dream up or we feel Listen to what Jesus said about his own life in John 4:19. He said, the Son, talking about himself, can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. He says things like this throughout the Gospels often. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. What if what you're sent to do isn't actually to accomplish your work, it's actually to accomplish his work? In taking land, in taking territory. And so every place that Jesus placed his foot, the kingdom came, all the way to his death on a cross, laying down his entire life, right? Why? Because he was in step with the Father. Because he was operating in what the Father had sent him to do, the specifics of it, every place that he stepped was given to him. Because he walked in this place of total abandonment and obedience and surrender to the Father. He didn't do his own thing. He did his Father's thing. How could we ever think that we get to do our own thing? What would happen if the church actually stopped doing our own thing and we just got in tune with him and just did what he was doing? What if I just did that? Let's not like, it's easy to be like them out there. What if we just did that, Hope Church? What if we woke up every day and we were like, I'm on assignment and I want to walk with you and I want to do what you're doing. That I'm not just a retired person, I'm actually on an assignment person. And all the retired people said, whoa, there's a lot of you. Bless you. Can't wait for that one day. That'd be awesome. Just kidding. The point is this. Even Jesus didn't just do whatever he wanted to do. He lived by every word that came from the mouth of his Father. So the word to Joshua is here, the land I'm giving you, arise and go. Every step is yours as you walk into it. It wasn't any land. It wasn't any territory. It wasn't just do what you want. It was the specific land that God had spoken to Joshua. Verse 5, he says to Joshua, what a promise here. No man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. In other words, you're going to face challenges. You're going to face a lot of challenges. But in the midst of those challenges, here's the promise. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you because my presence is the promise. My presence is the promise. Guys, I'm a witness of this in my own life, that in the midst of challenge, in the midst of difficulty, in the things that we don't understand, in the midst of pressures and the feelings that want to overwhelm you in the middle of your assignment, whatever it is that you face, when you know that he is with you and you are with him, it is enough. It is enough. You can stand in that place. It's actually everything. It's actually everything. He goes on in verse 6. You've read this many times. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do. Can you say to do? To do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I think it's easy to become familiar with this because we've read it and we've heard it so many times, but I want to remind you of that last line. For then you will make your way prosperous. then you will have good success. There's so much in this passage here, but I just want to highlight a couple of things so it's not comprehensive. But this is such a beautiful description of God's part and our part joining together to release us into the promises and the destiny that he has for us. He's saying, Joshua, you want to be prosperous, you want to be successful, don't let this book depart from your mouth. Don't let this book depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do what it says. I don't know, those words are just coming alive to me, guys. Be careful to do what it says. In a culture that seems so careless and casual, he's saying, be careful to do what it says. Then your way will be prosperous and you'll have success. How many want to be successful? How many want to be prosperous? Which, by the way, is not defined the same way as Western prosperity or American prosperity is defined. But be careful to do all that's in this book, all the commands. I think sometimes we think of commands as a bad thing. Be careful to do the commands. For them, it was the first five books of the Bible. For us, we get the whole book. For us, we get the whole book. And I think what I'm praying for us as a church, for real, is that we would get such a hunger for this book. That we would get such a hunger for the instructions that are in this book. That we would get so filled with the words of this book through the presence and the power of the Spirit, that it would be so alive in us that we would be so careful how we live. Because this is so in us, because we are meditating on this day and night, because these words, we are chewing on these words. Chewing on the commands of Jesus. And I'm praying that this would rise up in us. It reminds me of what Jesus told the disciples in the commission when he said, teach them all that I've commanded you. Commands are good. I want to tell you, the commands of the Lord are good. Yes, they are. Listen to this, Psalm 19:8, the Passion Translation says, Yahweh's teachings are right and make us joyful. His precepts are so pure. Yahweh's commands challenge us to keep close to his heart. The revelation light of his word makes my spirit shine radiant. You want to be joyful? Give yourself to his teachings. You want to keep close to his heart? Give yourself to his commands. You feel your heart kind of growing cold. You feel your heart kind of wandering. You feel like tired inside. Give yourselves to his commands. You want your spirit to shine brightly. You feel like, man, there's something missing in me, my spirit. I feel like I'm not shining brightly. Fill yourself with his word. Do I sound like an old-time preacher? I'm going to just focus on this one for just a minute. Don't let this book depart from your mouth. He's saying this word in your mouth and on your lips is going to be key to your success. It's going to be key to your prosperity. And think about this for a minute, church. If what comes out of my mouth is filtered by God's word, it's going to direct all my words. It's going to direct all my words. How many know that what comes out of your mouth is a big deal? Our words create atmospheres, life and death, right? Sometimes I found it's just better not to speak. As Joshua is about to lead Israel into the promised land, it's going to matter what's coming out of his mouth. And I want to just suggest to us today that it matters what's coming out of your mouth. It matters what's coming out of my mouth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, right? Faith and our mouth are connected. Faith and our mouth are connected. As Joshua assumes leadership and he steps into this place that God has given him, his words are going to matter because they're going to influence everyone and everything. And you cannot speak out of your insecurity. Hear me on this. You cannot speak out of your insecurity when you're walking into a new day in a new territory. Every time God is moving in your life, he is moving in your mouth. In the kingdom of God, our destiny and our declarations, they go together. He trained Joshua in this on the other side of the Jordan while he was looking right at the problem. And the Lord is saying to him, you're going to need my word in your mouth when you see the obstacles and you see the problems that are in front of you. Think about this. Remember back when Moses sent out the 12 spies to check out the land. Remember, 10 spies came back with fear-filled unbelief speech. And 2 spies came back speaking the word of the Lord filled with faith. Joshua and Caleb. God is looking for leaders who will speak the word of the Lord filled with faith. He's looking for people that will speak the word of the Lord with faith. Only 2 got in the promised land, 10 didn't get to go. Think about this. The spies got what they spoke. The spies got what they spoke. Our speech can lead us into a new season, or it can keep us stuck where we are. The speech of the spies was the barrier of their breakthrough. What we're believing manifests through our talk. And it is so often the barrier of our breakthrough into spiritual inheritance. And I feel that for us, church, as we're stepping into new places. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it always represents something deeper that's going in. But we need to protect our words. I'm not talking here about random naming and claiming it or just reciting scriptures as some sort of a formula. I'm not suggesting shallow, wishful, you know, kind of talk. I'm talking about our words being filled with his word, his law, what he says, his word in our mouths coming out when we speak. Think about this, how we come into salvation is that we confess with our and we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. And I'd like to suggest that the way in through the confession is the way on. That the confession of our mouth is significant in this time as it was for Joshua. Because my faith and my mouth are connected to walking into all that God has and all that Jesus has paid for. So this morning I want to ask you, what word is in your mouth? What words are you speaking and repeating over your life? What words are you speaking over your future? What words are you speaking over your city? What words are we speaking over our nation? What words are we speaking over creation? What words are we breathing into the atmosphere? What are we given permission to rule over our lives through our words? If I speak whatever I want, I'll have whatever I've had. You're free to speak whatever you want. How many like free speech? It's great. Free speech is great, but favor follows the word that the Lord is speaking. What the Lord is speaking is what I want to be speaking. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart, let it be pleasing to you. I just want to say what he's saying. And if I don't know what he's saying, sometimes it's just better to be quiet. But spiritual victory is connected to our words. The words of my mouth matter. And God is saying to Joshua, you'll be successful as you refuse to let my word depart from your mouth. I only say what I hear my father saying. And as I've spent time in these first chapters of Joshua, what we see over and over is that obedience matters. That obedience is always the strategy to take the land. Obedience is always the strategy to take the land. That when the Lord speaks to Joshua, Joshua does what the Lord says. When the Lord says to Joshua, do something, Joshua does it. When the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from each tribe and have them take a stone from the middle of the Jordan, Joshua does exactly and precisely as the Lord has called him to do. That when the Lord says, command the priests with the Ark of the Covenant to stand still in the Jordan, Joshua, what does he do? He commands the priests precisely as the Lord has said. When in the midst of impossibilities that are facing him of crossing the Jordan, the impossible becomes possible as Joshua hears the word of the Lord and then responds through faith, through obedience, and the miracle is then released. He didn't make the miracle happen, God did, but his obedience allowed it to happen. And there is something in this for us today, church. I wonder how many miracles, how many small or large miracles that God wants to perform through our obedience to him. After they cross the Jordan, this miraculous celebration moment has just happened. They cross, and the Lord gives Joshua another instruction. He speaks to him, and he says, Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. Now, I'm wondering if this is why the Lord said to Joshua, be strong and courageous three times in a row. It wasn't actually to cross the Jordan. It was because he was going to have to circumcise an entire army of grown men. You know, that takes some courage. Guys, here we go. So Joshua, what does he do? He makes the flint knives and he circumcises the sons of Israel. We all know the story of the Battle of Jericho. It says that Jericho was shut up inside and outside. But the Lord says to Joshua in chapter 6, verse 2, he says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. And as I read that, came out big in front of me. See, it's through faith that God shows us what we cannot see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, right? Faith operates, I said this a couple weeks ago, faith operates in the unseen world to bring what exists in that world, what God wants and what only God can do, into this world. It's like spiritual eyesight. So God sees and then he invites Joshua to see. I believe that God is inviting every single one of you and me in all the places that we are assigned to go to see what he is seeing. That he's saying, hey, I want you to see something in that impossible situation that is before you. See. See what I see. See what I see. I want to give you spiritual eyesight. Here's what I want you to do. I want you and your army to march around the city for 6 days, one time a day. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around it seven times and then lift up a great shout. And when you do, here's what's going to happen. The walls are going to fall down flat. They're going to crumble outwards. He doesn't say it here, but this is what happens. When the walls fall, they're going to crumble out, and it's actually going to make a stairway for you to come into the city and take it. He gives them this instructions, and Joshua does exactly what the Lord told him to do. And this is what's standing out to me. Do you see this pattern? For victory, the Lord speaks. Joshua does exactly what the Lord says. This had never been a strategy that God had given or used before. Can you imagine the courage that it would have taken to tell that army, hey guys, I know you're kind of still healing from all that happened back there with the flint knives, but here's what we're going to do. God has given us the city of Jericho, but you're going to have to be quiet for 6 days, silent as you march around the city. Not a word. Sometimes God, his strategy is for his people to actually shut their mouths. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's to shout. But sometimes it's to be quiet. I don't know why God told them to be quiet. I can think of plenty of reasons. But there are moments to be quiet and obey. What has the Lord said? And then obey. So speak no words from your mouth, he tells them, until I tell you to shout. When I tell you to shout, the walls of the city, they're going to fall. Here's what I'm reminded about this. When God says, I've given you something, I want to tell you, he's given it to you. But it will require obedience. And it will require a response. Faith without works is dead. It requires action. They did exactly as the Lord spoke to them. They shouted. The walls fell. They took the city. And get this, there's no record of that strategy being used again. I wish that marching around a problem for 7 days and then shouting worked. I would like do it all the time. You know? Like, I think I've tried it a few times. Like, hey, I'm going to try that Jericho thing. You know? Like, I'm going to march around this. But guess what? That would just become a form. And it wouldn't actually require God. They had to be totally dependent on him for every victory. They had to be totally dependent upon him for every new battle that they faced and every new piece of land that they took. They could not go back to old strategies. They had to step into what God was doing and saying in real time. And I want to just suggest to us today that it's the same for us. And what is so simple, this message, I know some of you probably like, man, I can't wait to get out of here. But I just want to just say to you today that I'm not afraid of like going back and remembering the very simplest things, because I believe that the very simplest things are the things that move us forward. And over, what I'm hearing is that Joshua listened and obeyed. And it was relationship. And as we follow the Lord, he calls us to things that we could never do on our own. Things that will take courage and will take strength that can only be found in him. But there is going to be grace for it all. Because what he commands, he empowers. And there will be a spirit, the Holy Spirit, empowering us for everything that he calls us to. He never tells us to step out and do something and does not empower it. He empowers the obedience. He empowers our obedience. And here's what I want to leave with you today, that the two keys to spiritual victory are always faith and obedience. That there is no victory outside of faith and obedience. They are inseparable. True faith is obedient faith. And this, what we're talking about today, and I believe that God is raising up a Joshua generation, a Jesus generation, and I think what it looks like is a group of people that are fully yielded, fully surrendered, who remain dependent upon the voice and the word of the Lord. It's what we see in Jesus, and it's what we see in Joshua. I'm going to invite you just to stand with me this morning. Tyler's going to come and play. We're going to wrap it up early. But I believe today that the Lord is speaking something very simple to us. But if we don't respond to it, we'll miss where he's taking us. How many want to go where he's leading? I think we all do. We want to. If you're here and you want to go where he's leading, would you just lift your hand even right now? Just say, I want to go where you're leading. I want to follow where you're leading. God wants to show us things in his word, and he wants to speak to us about things that he's doing to invite us in with him. Church, I want to tell you this morning, there is land to be possessed. There is inheritance that is yours that Jesus paid for. We don't earn it at all, but we do have to respond to it. Mediocrity will not work. Doing our own thing will not work. Even doing the right thing the wrong way will not work. Sometimes we know a little bit about what God is saying to us, but then we try and put other things with it. And then we find that we're not actually close to what he wants to do at all. We can't go beyond what he said in here, and we can't go beyond what he's spoken to us, or we get into trouble. But when we respond just to what he's saying to us, what his word says, what he's speaking to us, then we can be certain that the ground that we take is ours. There's three things today I want to remind you of. And I know it's so very basic, but I feel this for the church, for our church, the church that I am the leader of today, that I want to challenge you. And how about we start with this book or this week, that we take this book every single day this week and we eat it. We eat it. We eat it. On your own, I don't mean a podcast that you're listening to or a church service. I mean, you take this book and you get in there. Maybe you start in John. Maybe you start in the Gospels. I don't know where you want to start. Maybe you start in Genesis at the beginning with the commands that he gave at the beginning. Maybe you start at the beginning in the Gospels and you begin to just ingest and eat the commands of Jesus. But you take it every day and you take whatever that passage is and you grab a journal and you begin to write the verses that God highlights to you and you begin to meditate on those and you begin to speak them out loud. And you begin to just Let that word be in your mouth. Let those truths be in your mouth. And you meditate on it, because you can go back in your journal and you can see what you did yesterday. And God will begin to actually speak to you about things in your life and the ground that you're going to take as you're meditating on this and as these words are in your mouth. Take it verse by verse. Pray through it. He says day and night. Let it be on your lips. Let it be in your heart. The second thing I want to encourage you is don't let this book depart from your mouth. Let the words fill your word. Let his words fill your words. The new day, the new territory that you're stepping into requires an upgrade in our words. There have been so many words spoken in the last year or two. I believe he wants to give us an upgrade, and the upgrade comes through this. The upgrade in our speech comes as this word is in here. Watch your words. Let his word be your word. And three, be careful to do all that it says. Maybe this entire message is listen to God, do what he says. You're like, I don't even have to come here to know that. What if we all listened to God and did what he said? How many have a yes in your heart that you say, I don't want to do my own thing. I don't want to go my own way. I actually want to listen to God and I want to do what He says. All right.